Hello and welcome to another episode of Full Court Finance here at Zacks. I'm your host, Ben Raines. In this week, we're going to be doing another little rundown kind of episode. There's some more news in regards to the legalization of sports gambling in the U.S. Disney hired a new boss for ESPN, and ESPN and Fox are also now supposedly, reportedly competing for Peyton Manning's services next year in the booth. And then there's some more news from the NCAA ahead of the big March Madness basketball tournament, which is starting this week. But before we get to that, the NCAA March Madness, we're going to start with the sports betting. So New York and a few more states are slowly trying to bring in their own legislation to eventually, if the Supreme Court rules in favor of New Jersey, that they'll down the line legalize sports betting. And before we get into the newest happenings, I want to recap a little bit for people that don't know what's going on. So at this point in the United States, sports betting, although it seems legal, it's completely illegal outside of Nevada and a few other places. People talk about it. People talk about it at your office. People talk about it on television. It's everywhere. People are doing it. People are doing it on their phones, on the train. But they're doing it illegally if it's not in Nevada or a few other states. So the case that's going on right now, so on December 4th, 2017, so last December, the U.S. Supreme Court heard oral arguments on Christie versus the National Collegiate Athletic Association, so the NCAA, and that case is now Murphy versus the NCAA because there is a new New Jersey governor. It is no longer Chris Christie. It is Philip Murphy. So that's the case, and the premise is that the Supreme Court is going to either rule in favor of the constitutionality of the Professional and Amateur Sports Protection Act of 1992, PASPA, or they're not. Legal experts at this point think that if the Supreme Court decided to take the case, which they only take about 1% of cases a year, and they normally rule in favor of the case, like they go against what the previous ruling had been. So all the rulings before this have gone against New Jersey in this case. So most legal experts think that by taking this case, the Supreme Court is going to decide to rule in favor of New Jersey to get rid of this law that prohibits them from having legalized sports betting in their state. That's not a guarantee, but that is the hope for a lot of people and the idea from a lot of legal experts. And that ruling could come down as soon as the next couple of weeks. It's supposed to be spring 2018, so anytime from now in the next month or so. And now the question is, what's going on at this point? So since December, the NBA and Major League Baseball have started actively lobbying in 8 of the 16 states that are pursuing sports betting legislation at this point. And this is according to a Bloomberg tax analysis of different of these states. And so there's currently 16 states that are doing it. And yeah, Major League Baseball and NBA are actively lobbying in Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Missouri, New York, Rhode Island, and West Virginia. And the idea is that these states see, or that the NBAs and the Major League Baseball see these states as eventually most likely being states that legalize sports betting once eventually the New Jersey ruling comes down. And they're trying to get in on this because they want to make money off the sports betting. It's as simple as that. They are calling it, they want a 1% integrity fee on all sports bets. So they just want to take 1% off the top of all sports bets. The NBA and Major League Baseball are saying it is, in a sense, just to cover their costs for new safety measures and legal measures they will have to start implementing once sports betting becomes legal, because they're just going to have to, yeah, like in integrity, a 1% integrity, so we can keep up our games. There's no one thinking that all of a sudden these games are rigged or anything like that. So they're going to try to take a 1% fee. And in all these states, they're lobbying heavily and spending a lot of money to make sure that whatever legislation gets passed, eventually they're going to take at least that 1% cut off the top. So recently you had a case specifically in West Virginia where Major League Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred said recently that they don't agree with what West Virginia is doing. And they're saying it's because, and this is a quote, "Unfortunately, in West Virginia, there's only one interested group that has dominated the substance of this bill, and that's the gaming industry, people seeking to make money from sports betting," which seems pretty obvious. That's who's trying to get this passed. Then Manfred went on to say that for all purposes, there's not enough integrity in place in this West Virginia bill. It's not protecting young people. There's no limits on access to sports betting, and they're not protecting people who have gambling problems. I don't know exactly what's going on with this West Virginia case, but I can tell you that it seems that what Major League Baseball and the NBA are doing is they just want to make some money off this, which makes sense. They are the leagues that people are betting on. They should, why not? If it's going to be legal, they can make a 1% cut, which is going to be somewhere in the billions of dollars, I would assume, once this gets passed and maybe eventually becomes, I mean, it's still going to be a state-by-state thing no matter what, but eventually it could become a nationwide thing. And the question for now is what the NBA and Major League Baseball, what they're asking for, this 1% integrity fee, is that a good idea? And do people think it's going to work? And are they going to get this 1% integrity fee in all these states? You have Jeff Ma, who I'm not exactly sure what his position is at this point, but he was, I don't know if any of you have seen the movie 21 or read the book Bringing Down the House, but he was one of the people on the MIT blackjack team that helped, they were counting cards in Vegas, winning millions of dollars. And then he also has worked with the Portland Trailblazers and the San Francisco 49ers in different capacities. And so he has he knows a lot about gambling and sports gambling specifically. And he was talking to CNBC recently, and he said that right off the bat for Major League Baseball and the NBA to try to take this or ask for this flat 1% fee seems a little strange. He thinks down the road it's more of a feasible option, but he doesn't see initially how it's going to work. So we'll see how that works. And then you have New York, which is a state where both Major League Baseball and the NBA are headquartered, and they have the most lobbyists in this state going after New York's bill, because New York is asking or saying they want basically to just pay a 0.25% fee that then they will pass on to Major League Baseball and the NBA. And I'm sure the NBA and Major League Baseball are not going to accept that amount. If they're asking for 1%, they're not going to take that. So we'll see what's going on with that. And just to bring it full circle again, the question is, what happens if New Jersey wins? A lot could happen, but it's still a state-by-state, case-by-case basis where all of these different states just have to approve the legalization of sports betting themselves. And so they could even limit it. But most states, in the long run, if they do it, will probably legalize online betting, mobile betting, and there'll be sports books in places. But mobile betting is going to become a big thing. You have the first people that are going to pop up in states are places like MGM and William Hill and different casino firms and giants that already have infrastructure that they could just pop into these states and easily get something up and running right away. And then you also have different technology companies that have put in patent applications for different online betting, just platforms, things like that. So you have Microsoft and Sony specifically have put in patents for online betting. And then there's talk of companies like Facebook and even the Googles of the world. And there's obviously ramifications to their business model if they want to get into something as sticky as sports betting. But they have the user base that could easily, they could just add in something really easily, quickly for online sports betting. And like I said before, this isn't official. It has not been passed, but the CEO of the American Gaming Association thinks it's going to be passed. Most legal experts think it's going to be passed. And just for a frame of reference, how much sports betting is currently going on that's completely illegal, the American Gaming Association puts it at $150 billion of illegal sports gambling in the U.S. And Adam Silver, who is the commissioner of the NBA, in his now relatively famous New York Times op-ed from 2014, he put it at $400 billion of illegal sports betting. So it's a huge industry, and it's going to have really long-term implications no matter what happens. So it'll be fun to see what's going on in that in the next couple months or so. And a couple places that would instantly benefit from being able to cover this more would be places like ESPN. They're already talking about it, and that brings me directly to ESPN, who is going through a lot of struggles, but at least they now have someone new at the helm. They finally announced the replacement for John Skipper, who left kind of unexpectedly in December. He cited substance abuse issues. I don't want to get into that, but he left in December, and then for the last couple months, they've been looking for a replacement. They hired an in-house candidate. It's James Pitaro. He's the new president of ESPN and the co-chair of Disney Media Networks. He's been previously with the company. He was the chairman of Disney's Consumer Products and Interactive Media since 2016. Before that, he was the president of Disney Interactive and a couple different exec positions at Yahoo before Disney helping them grow their sports vertical and different things at Yahoo. So his name's been floating around for a while. He's officially taking over, and he's taking over at a time where, at this point, most investors know that ESPN is dragging Disney down. Not hugely, but for a long time, it was just widely profitable, huge margins, and now with the lack of or the slow decline of subscribers, they're just losing a lot of money. So since 2010, their subscriber numbers are down by about 12 million. So they were at 100 million in 2010, and now they're at 88 million. And not necessarily all of that is directly people saying, I don't want ESPN anymore, but it's just people cutting the cords, and ESPN is just tied to so many different cable packages. So there's a lot going on there, and one of the things that's going to be his first big issue to tackle, which is something that's already been in place and already been announced, is the new ESPN streaming service, ESPN Plus. Most people, including myself, were hoping it would be a standalone version of ESPN that you didn't have to have a cable subscription for, and it would just be everything you want from ESPN just without having to have cable. But instead, it's a $4.99 a month streaming service that gives you access to kind of supplementary ESPN content. So anything that's a huge game on ESPN, or anything that's actually running on ESPN or ESPN2. So this is college football, college basketball, NFL, NBA, anything like that. That's not going to be on this streaming service. They're going to have sort of the lesser watch sports. You're going to have NHL on there. You're going to have tennis, boxing, rugby, golf, even cricket. So it's a kind of a supplementary thing for now. You still, if you'd want, you can watch all of this streaming on ESPN, everything streaming on ESPN, if you have a cable subscription, and then you just use that information on the ESPN app. But for now, they're just kind of doing this testing out phase of this $5 a month streaming service that also is going to give you access to the 30 for 30 documentary series. And then going forward, Disney CEO Bob Iger said they're going to eventually have some new original content for the platform. But we'll see how that works. What could be really huge for a streaming service for ESPN, and what could, I think, in my opinion, really become the biggest sports streaming platform in the next couple of years or next 5 or so years, and when eventually streaming becomes more of the norm even than it is now, is if Disney's deal to try to buy Fox goes through, they would instantly just have so much content, so much local sports content, so much national sports content from NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, that they would just, most sports fans, if they want to watch live sports, would almost have to buy this ESPN standalone streaming app if that's what it comes down to in the next 10 years or so. And if ESPN and Disney do merge with a lot of these Fox assets as the deal is currently in place. And that brings me to my next big discussion in the world of sports business, is Fox and ESPN are actually currently reportedly, this is nothing official yet, but they're vying for Peyton Manning to join the broadcast booths. So John Gruden, who had been in the Monday Night Football booth for a long time as the color guy, he left to go coach the Oakland Raiders, who are soon going to be in Las Vegas. And ESPN is reportedly asking Peyton Manning if he'll come into the booth for $10 million a year, which is crazy to think that he could, you know, you do whatever, 15, 16 games on Monday night, just sitting there. He doesn't need to take it. He doesn't need the money, but who knows? Maybe he'll take it. And then Fox, they just got Thursday Night Football for the first time ever. They're going to start that in 2018. So the idea is that he would take over for their Thursday Night Football broadcast as the NFL and Fox reached a deal in early January. Actually, it was late January for 5 years. It's the first time Fox has Thursday Night Football. And I think that was, I have this right here. Yeah, it was for $3.3 billion that Fox bought the Thursday Night Football rights. And then speaking of billions, the NCAA just came out with a report, their financials from their fiscal 2017 recently. And they, for the first time ever, officially made more than $1 billion in a year. The NCAA made $1.06 billion in their most recent fiscal year. And pretty much all of that was from the NCAA men's basketball tournament. I mean, not all of it, but a huge amount of it. Like $761 million from the tournament. And then there was also ticket sales that made even more. But for all the talk that the NCAA is really corrupt, and I don't want to get into that today, they do give a lot of this money back to the schools. It's not like they made $1 billion and they're just putting it directly in their pockets or their offshore bank accounts or something like that. They reported that their expenses were $956 million. So there's obviously a little wiggle room between what they made and what their expenses were, but they're giving most of it back to the NCAA schools because, as most of you probably know, a lot of these schools are losing money on pretty much every sport but football and basketball. And even at some of these schools, football and basketball, which are traditionally revenue-generating sports, lose money. So for all the talk that all these teams are making so much money, when you think of just, unless you're the Alabamas of the world and the Clemsons of the world and the Kentucky basketball of the world, you're not necessarily making hundreds of millions of dollars from your sports program. Often these schools are running a deficit when you consider that they have hundreds and hundreds of athletes on scholarship there every year. But one way for these schools to keep making some money, at least for the next 14 years or so, is through the current CBS and Turner deal with the NCAA for the March Madness basketball tournament, because there was an extension in 2016 that put the end of the deal to 2032. That was for $8.8 billion when the previous deal ran through 2024 for $11 billion. So that is one revenue stream that's not going to run dry anytime soon. And that brings me to last night's bracketology bracket release show. And it was a big deal because it was the first time that it was on Turner in 36 years. So not on Turner because that's not a channel, but on TBS. So Turner got the rights instead of CBS. And it was a big deal because over the last couple of years for the CBS bracket release show, selection Sunday show, there had been a lot of backlash. People were talking about how long it was, and they didn't even release the full bracket till the last maybe 5 minutes of the show. There was just a lot of backlash, so it was nice to give TBS a chance. And speaking of Selection Sunday, the tournament starts this week. It is the start of one of the biggest months of sports every year. The NCAA tournament is widely popular, widely watched, wildly bet on from everyone all across the U.S. This might be the most openly bet on thing in America every year. Think of your office, wherever you work, whoever your relatives or family are, most likely you're doing at least one bracket every year. There's some people who do 10, 20. Everyone knows how much money is lost from companies of people not working. And so this really fittingly ties into what this episode was, which was sports betting, the NCAA, because this month just kind of shows you how much the business of sports is really tied in. And it'll be good that maybe in the next couple of years, that at your office pool, it won't technically be illegal to be betting on what college basketball team wins the tournament. And then next week, we are going to kind of dive in more to the NCAA tournament and look at the sponsors and just how much money is being poured into this tournament every year. And that does it for another episode of Full Court Finance. Until next time, I'm your host, Ben Raines. And remember, if you have any questions, please feel free to shoot us an email over at podcast@zacks.com.